Ratner faces balancing act in wooing fans by Richard Sandhammer. Any of Bruce E. Ratner's challenges in buying the Nets for $300 million and moving them to a 19,000-seat arena in Brooklyn is to avoid alienating existing Nets fans while devising a plan to build a new fan base, sports marketing experts said yesterday. It will be a delicate balance, they said, for Ratner to prevent an exodus of fans at the same time he plans the team's move. To succeed, he must make Nets games at Continental Arena inviting without plastering its corridors with "We Want You in Brooklyn" banners. There will be an ego backlash, said Michael Rowe, a former Nets president, because some fans will feel that you've told me that my 23 years of investment in the Meadowlands was worthless, and you don't care about me. The cost could be steep if Continental Arena, which rarely fills for a Nets or Devils game, grows emptier each year. The Nets are already projected to lose about $16 million this season, and a decline in attendance and revenue could make those eight-figure losses swell 4 years before their new arena opens. The Nets are next to last in the NBA in average attendance, and the Devils rank 21st of 30 teams in the NHL. Maintaining the quality of the Nets, the Eastern Conference champions the past 2 seasons, is crucial for Ratner. Teams like the Detroit Tigers and the Milwaukee Brewers have faltered in new stadiums by failing to time the rebuilding of their teams with the opening of their new stadiums. The team looks like it's plateauing, and you have to keep spending money, said Bob Bukowski, a former president of Madison Square Garden. There'll be some pretty big losses to remain good and stay competitive. But the quality of the team, after the 2007-08 season, the Nets last, under its current lease at Continental Arena, cannot be known. Jason Kidd would be near the end of his current contract, and there is no guarantee that Kenyon Martin and Richard Jefferson, who are close to being restricted free agents, will still be with the Nets. Still, a winning team may not be enough to assuage fans angered by the Nets' spending move and the difficulty of getting to the Brooklyn Arena, which would attract more fans by mass transit than by car, because of its proximity to subways and the Long Island Railroad. But marketing experts say there are strategies that could prevent mass desertions. They include reducing some ticket prices, or at least not raising them, providing gifts and discounts to long-time season ticket holders, creating more events for fans to meet players, like off-season caravans, greatly increasing arena entertainment, to compare to the atmosphere in arenas in Dallas and other cities, and devising incentives for current season ticket holders to receive similar seat locations in the new arena. The mantra of marketing is it's always more expensive to acquire a new customer than to keep an old one, said Paul Swangard, managing director of the Warsaw Sports Marketing Center at the University of Oregon. If people are loyal in a less than stellar building, I'd want to reward them and keep them. David Carter, principal of the sports business group, said Ratner should surrender the Nets name and choose a new one. To take it would be like poking the eye out of fans on the way out, he said. Fans could choose a name through a contest. To build fan support in New York, Ratner could also rent fleets of buses on game days to transport fans to the Meadowlands from designated locations in Brooklyn, Manhattan, or other boroughs. You almost want to create a tailgating mentality, Bukowski said. Ratner will have to choose someone to run the Nets business operations, Lula Moriello, who has been criticized for not marketing the team aggressively enough, said yesterday that he was giving up his job as its chief executive to concentrate exclusively on continuing to do the same job with the Devils. I am not going to be involved going forward, he said. Rowe, whose time with the Nets preceded Lamoriello's, said, Lou always felt if you win, people will come. He was wrong with the Devils, and he's been wrong with the Nets. Rowe said, Ratner should meet with season ticket holders, there are about 8,000, and say, if you like good pro basketball, you've still got your seat. Brooklyn may not happen, and you don't want to give up your tickets. Ratner will also have to build a relationship with the New Jersey Sports and Exposition Authority, which owns Continental Arena and Giant Stadium, and faces the loss of the Nets, the Devils, and the Jets. The Nets signed a 10-year lease in 1998 that increased their revenue and allow them an annual escape from the Meadowlands with 6 months' notice, beginning after the 1999-2000 season. In the first 4 years, the penalties for leaving fell from $15 million to $10 million, $7.5 million, and $5 million. Now there are no penalties. Ratner could move the Nets after the 2004-05 season if he does not like his lease, but his options are limited. Madison Square Garden is tightly booked and may not want to house the Knicks' rival and help the Nets nurture their new fan base. Garden officials were unavailable for comment yesterday. Nassau Coliseum would be open because it houses only the Islanders. The landlord, SMG, would welcome new revenue. But opportunities for revenue for the visiting Nets would be severely limited. "We haven't been called," said Chris Botta, a spokesman for the Islanders, "but we'd certainly be willing to listen." George Arzoffinger, president of the New Jersey Sports Authority, said there would be no reason for Ratner to leave prematurely. "It's our policy to act professionally and to make their stay a positive one," he said. "And we'll talk to them about their schedule with Brooklyn and accommodate them if it's for an extended period beyond 2008. But Zoffinger said, it would be the responsibility of Ratner to market the Brooklyn-bound Nets, not that of the Sports Authority, which loses $2.5 million a year on its lease with the team. He added, the team gets just about all the money